Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
I'd just like to take a moment to recognize the fantastic partners in government that I have with me this afternoon. We are joined today by Buffalo City Comptroller Barbara Miller-Williams, Buffalo Common Council President Brian Bowman, and Majority Leader of the Buffalo Common Council, Leah Halton-Pope. We are here today because the taxpayers of Buffalo deserve the truth behind headlines, and they deserve responsible leadership like they have with the people standing alongside of me today. I'm going to be very clear from my standpoint. Senator Sean Ryan's gone rogue. He's attempting to operate as mayor, comptroller, and common counsel all the way from Albany. He's attempting to circumvent the City of Buffalo Charter and the authority and responsibility that the elected officials standing up here with me today have. The senator's proposal and the act of the legislation that he is actively pushing in Albany that would give the Buffalo Fiscal Stability Authority the ability to issue bonds between $70 and $150 million on behalf of the City of Buffalo is reckless, it's irresponsible, and quite frankly, it's not necessary. This plan flies in the face of financial common sense. It's a proposal that forces taxpayers to take on decades of unnecessary debt and associated interest costs. It is the equivalent of borrowing $70, $100, $150 million and putting it on a credit card just because you can't pay your mortgage. Worse yet, it extends the life of the BFSA for 25 years from now, meaning that when my children, the youngest of which is just barely out of diapers, will still be talking about the control board, still be under state oversight, and talking about the same problems that we're talking about now. It's a short-sighted vision, and it hamstrings the City of Buffalo for a generation to come. It's dangerous and it's unfathomable to me that Senator Ryan is willing to mortgage the future of the City of Buffalo for reasons that many of us are aware of. This proposal does not solve any of the challenges or any of the problems the City of Buffalo has. Quite frankly, it doesn't even delay them. It makes them worse. You're adding debt to a current financial situation that we're already struggling to find our way out of. But through the common work, the collaboration, the partnership with the people that I'm standing up here today, we are starting to find our way out of that. And we will do that together. One of those people who plays an integral role in that process, someone who actually has the authority to authorize bonding on behalf of the City of Buffalo is Buffalo City Comptroller Barbara Miller-Williams, and I'd like to welcome her to the podium at this time.
Thank you, Mayor Scanlon, and thank you for all of you that are here to cover our message today. The message today is for the citizens and taxpayers of the City of Buffalo. We need to make it known loud and clear that we recognize that we do have severe financial obstacles to overcome. However, increasing our debt and borrowing is not the answer. To circumvent the existing measures, the existing laws, policies that are in place by one individual is not the answer. As your city comptroller, I recognize that issuing debt financing bonds would require, it's not optional, it will require consensus from the City of Buffalo Mayor and the Buffalo Common Council as per state legislation. One New York State Senator cannot supersede that. Why bypass the three branches of city government in determining the best path forward? I believe today that it is premature to have New York State step in exclusively to make a determination before a thorough, deliberative process has taken place. And that process must include the administration, myself as the City of Buffalo Comptroller, and the Buffalo Common Council members. Given the seriousness of the city's financial situation, I believe that all options must be explored, including the proposed creation of the Parking Authority and hotel occupancy tax legislation, as championed by our New York State Majority Leader, Crystal Peoples-Stokes. However, any solutions, they must be agreed upon by the democratically elected officials of the City of Buffalo. There is no need to exclude us and leave us out. I do not support superseding that decision, leaving it up to New York State Senator Sean Ryan and any other unelected members, specifically those individuals that serve with the Buffalo Fiscal Stability Authority. Furthermore, financially, it has not been determined whether it is fiscally more responsible for the BFSA to even borrow on behalf as opposed to our usual course of borrowing that I do as a comptroller. The proposal as presented requires further analysis, particularly in the long-term borrowing costs to the city, such as interest and principal payments on the bonds. The BFA's annual $1 million operating budget that we currently have been taking care of for years, that will increase. We're going to be increasing it to the tune of approximately $11 million. If we extend it from 2036 to 2047 with the legislation that's being advanced, the potential impact on the city's bond rating, which I have fiercely protected, which I will do whatever I have to do to protect, would certainly be adversely affected if we move forward with this legislation. I remain committed as your City of Buffalo Comptroller to work with all partners in city government and the New York State delegation to develop responsible solutions that address the potential budget shortfall and put the city on a sustainable fiscal path. Now is not the time to sit down and allow individuals to circumvent the process. I implore everyone to let's work together. The financial future of the City of Buffalo is at risk. We must continue to work as partners on behalf of the citizens and taxpayers of the City of Buffalo. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Madam Comptroller. You know, you talked there at the end about being partners and working as partners and collaborating. Two other fantastic partners that we have are these members of the Common Council that are here with us today. Buffalo Common Council President Lovejoy, District Council Member Brian Bowman, and Majority Leader and Ellicott District Councilwoman Leah Halton-Pope. And I'd like to welcome them to the podium now to say a few words.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Madam Comptroller. I am here today to lend my voice of concern, and I want to express to the members of our state delegation that I am concerned with this idea of borrowing up to $150 million, adding to our debt. I'm concerned with what that could do to our credit rating. Additional concerns with regard to borrowing from the Buffalo Fiscal Stability Authority. In past years, this idea came up, and the council was concerned with the fact that it would renew the charter for the Fiscal Stability Authority, extending them out to potentially 2046. So there's several issues with this, and I think in every article I've watched in the media covering the city finances, someone has said the city's kicking the issues down the road, kicking the can down the road. Well, borrowing $150 million is kicking the can down the road. We have to hit our financial issues head on. The proposed budget by the mayor attempts to do that. The council is, you know, feverishly working through this budget. We had public hearings. We had workshops this week. We're working through it line by line. I do not see borrowing $150 million as a solution to the problem. And so that's why I'm here lending my voice to this issue today. Thank you very much. And you want me to know. And I will introduce our majority leader of the Buffalo Common Council, Leah Halton Pope.
Good afternoon, everyone. So on March the 13th, the Common Council unanimously passed a resolution supporting two pieces of legislation, the Parking Authority and the state, the Occupancy Tax Bill. That came because the majority leader of the state assembly asked that we do this before she puts a piece of legislation in, because that's how we operate. So let's be clear, the Buffalo Common Council was not consulted on this particular piece of legislation despite its sweeping impact on our city's financial future. This bill extends the state control of our city's finances through 2046 and authorizes $150 million in new debt. The budget itself says that there's a $30 million debt shortfall that we would be addressing. This is considerably higher than that initial amount, all without the conversation with duly elected representatives of the people of Buffalo, meaning the controller's office, the office of the mayor, and the council. We will not allow our local authority to be bypassed or our role to be diminished. The council has a duty to scrutinize the bill, demand transparency, and ensure that borrowed dollars serve the people, not just the bottom line. And while fiscal stability is essential, true progress requires collaboration. We urge the state to engage directly with Buffalo's legislative leaders before advancing any policy that affects the heart of our governance. We're not here just to smile and to shake hands and agree to whatever anybody puts out. We talk about these things. This discussion about parking authority and state and then the occupancy tax was something that we've discussed at length. We started with the occupancy tax last year, and this year we discussed the parking authority. And then the council made a decision and voted for something. If you don't consult us, if you don't talk to us, that means you don't have a lot of respect for who we are as a legislative body. I take exception to that because I happen to represent a pretty significant district, and they need to know that somebody is fighting for them, as do my colleagues. We all have a voice, and this is important. And so I stand with my colleagues in government boldly asking that the state rethink this, do not put this in this budget, and until somebody comes and talks to us, I'm a hard no. Thank you.
Thank you, Majority Leader. I think one of the key takeaways you've heard from myself and my partners in government is, you know, conversation, collaboration, partnership, whether it's through our budget process and the conversations we're having, the conversations we have with the controller and the controller's office. Listen, we're here together, working together on a daily basis to make sure we have Buffalo moving in the right direction. And like any big dysfunctional family, there's going to be days we disagree, there's going to be days we scratch, we fight, but at the end of the day, we all know we want to get to the same place, and that's where the best the best version of the city of Buffalo. So as I stated, this proposal, though, it flies in the face of financial common sense. The controller, the council, et cetera, were not consulted. It's my understanding the control board was not consulted about this proposal. And as I said, it doesn't solve any of the issues we have. It doesn't delay any of the issues at hand. It really just exacerbates the problem. So, and as you've heard the elected officials here today, we didn't ask for this. We don't want this. And we don't, in my estimation, don't need it. Borrowing of this sort should be the absolute last resort when it comes to the city of Buffalo's financial situation. And I don't think anyone standing up here today believes we're at that position. So thank you for coming out with that. We can open it to any questions.
What's between this proposal, that tax, and the parking garage authority, this has been going on for a month now. What's preventing all of you from getting together, ordering pizza, and just talking this out again?
Can I speak on my behalf and not these three? Politics. Let's just be honest about it. It's politics. I'm not going to say that on behalf of them, and I would not put these three in that position. So please don't anyone say that they're standing here for political reasons, because they're not. And I would not put those words in their mouth, but it's politics. It's plain and simple. It's a political stunt at the end of the day. We're talking about, and the council's, I've proposed, the council is reviewing a budget that has proposals in there that can turn the corner on the Buffalo's financial situation. And we will continue to have those conversations. We've had very productive conversations with partners in Albany to do that. And when you talk about the Buffalo Parking Mobility Authority, we're talking about bringing in $40, $50 million initially, a couple million dollars a year. So if you extrapolate that over the same time that the control board would still be in place if we started to borrow this, you're talking $80 million in revenue, even if that revenue just stayed flat. You're going to bring in $80 million of revenue. If you borrow $70 million, you're talking about taking on debt by the end of the day of $100, $105 million. If you borrow $150, $225, $230 million. So the fact that these proposals aren't even close, and at the end of the day, it's politics. It's that simple.
May I also add, in reference to your question, there is nothing that would prevent us from all just sitting down talking. I think the concern at this point in time is that opportunity was never provided. I found out about the particular legislation like many of you in this room. There was never, as far as I'm concerned, any effort to sit down, call me, let me at least know in advance that this is something that was being considered. So there is nothing, I think, that would prevent us from sitting down, absence of the individuals wanting to do that. And that did not occur in this particular situation.
Specifically, when it came to the parking authority and the opposition to the occupancy tax, I did reach out to our representatives, because that's what you do. You have conversations, you ask them about their thoughts on these matters. I have to work with whoever ends up on the second floor, so for me, this is about the people that we represent collectively. And so if I can give you that courtesy and you had an idea in mind, then all I'm asking is, why didn't you just give it back to us? We are duly elected. We have to answer to the constituents that we serve. And when I was asked by the media on Monday or Tuesday, what do I think about it? My response then was, I haven't seen it. No one has talked to me about it. And so I don't even understand. I do now. I don't understand. I didn't understand at the time the full implications of what it could possibly do. Though on its own, it will not trigger a control board. It is a hard control board. It is very possible that this will, if we suddenly go, we're borrowing to get ourselves out of debt. Why would we voluntarily put ourselves in that position? We wouldn't. So I would prefer they would have had a conversation. And as the controller said, there's literally nothing preventing it. I've been very deliberate personally in making sure that I have open communication with the people that I work with and my colleagues in government at every level, just so that we can have open conversation. And if you don't give me the same courtesy, then it kind of concerns me a little. Thank you. The concerns that I outlined, they still exist. I certainly have some serious concerns about the budget. But today I'm here to talk about the legislation that has been advanced that's up for consideration.
But my thoughts, my comptroller's response still stands. Nothing has changed. However, it is clear and it is evident that as a comptroller, it is my responsibility to work with the mayor, irregardless of whether I agree or disagree. We're going to work together at the end of the day. We're going to continue. We will, as he indicated, we disagree. We have to sit down. We go back and forth. But at the end of the day, it's not about the mayor or the comptroller. It's about the citizens and the taxpayers. So at this point in time, my response, the comptroller's response, still stands. However, this legislation that is before us, that is, it has a possibility of moving forward, I stand shoulder to shoulder with the mayor in opposition.
And if I can follow up, listen, it's the job of the mayor to propose a budget. The comptroller is charged with responding to that budget, and that's her responsibility to do so. And if she, whoever the comptroller is, if Comptroller Miller Williams sees concerns, raises those concerns, we'll work together to address them. The Common Council the same way. They have review authority and authority to adopt or amend the budget, and we'll have those conversations. I'm not opposed to working with anyone who has concerns or questions about the budget. I mean, if you see the other day at the control board meeting, they talked about asking us for a gap plan. And I told them then, I said, I don't have a problem with a gap plan and providing you a gap plan. We've certainly had those conversations while preparing the budget. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm the one who motioned to approve the gap plan at the control board meeting. So I have no problem working with any of our partners in government with reference to this budget and making sure that it's on solid ground moving forward so the Common Council can take action. We've reached out to the governor's office on a continual basis, had conversations. They've been very productive. We've talked to the majority leader. I can't thank the majority leader of the assembly enough. She's been a champion for the city of Buffalo, a champion for the city of Buffalo residents with these two pieces of legislation. She knows and she is well aware of what the impact would be to taxpayers and residents in the city of Buffalo if we don't have these two pieces of legislation. But based on the conversations we've had with the assembly and the majority leader, with the governor's office, we feel very comfortable about those conversations. And like I've said all along since proposing the budget, we need our state senators to step up and get it across the finish line.
The topic of the control board,
it's me. Well, I think you saw those numbers rising up, but now I think you see through collaboration those numbers starting to come down. And I think you'll see that by the time the council takes action on the budget, working collaboratively with me and the comptroller, you'll see those numbers start to head in the other direction. We're closing the gap we have in the budget. And to me, the control board does not solve our problems. It kicks our problems, it kicks the can down the road. It can freeze wages, it can freeze hiring, but eventually the bill comes due on things. You have to start settling contracts. You have to start hiring people to make sure you deliver the services that you need. So it doesn't do us any good to go in a hard control phase. It really just kicks the can down the road. You have very talented, very capable people on the Buffalo Common Council, in the comptroller's office, all throughout this building that can figure the issues out that we have and take the challenges in front of us and make sure that we use them as an opportunity to get better, become more efficient, and make sure that we have a more cost-effective operation.
Mayor, recently, social media been called hacking, so to speak, out. I'm calling to reach out to Senator Baskin, Senator Ryan, about these issues. Senator Baskin seems to be taking exception, saying when an elected is passionate about something, they will normally set up a meeting to come to a compromise, or at least alluding to the fact that that might not have happened. She also seems to take exception to you directing people to call her office and harass her staff, calling it juvenile and disrespectful. What's your response?
Not much of a response. I can't tell you how many times I've seen before I was in office or during office a call to action coming from executives, legislative bodies, whatever it might be, to make sure legislation gets passed, whether it's conferences of electeds, whatever it might be. I have a responsibility as an elected member of city government, and then appointed through the charter as the acting mayor, to do what's best on behalf of the residents of the city of Buffalo. And those two pieces of legislation that we sent to Albany are incredibly important. I can't overstate how important they are to our financial situation, and they will help us turn the corner financially. And again, like I said, Crystal People Stokes and other members of the Assembly have been incredibly supportive. The governor's office has been very supportive in our conversation. So the missing link there was our two senators helping us get it across the finish line. So we wanted to let people know, not to harass them, but just to let them know that, listen, I'm a taxpayer, and if we can avoid increasing taxes an insurmountable amount through these pieces of legislation, if you feel that way, please call them and let them know.
Have you and Senator Bessie had meetings about these issues?
Not in person, but we've spoken on the phone about them. Yeah.
If Senator Bessie and Senator Ryan didn't express opposition to those two, you know, parking authority and the city hotel tax, is there another
Yeah, listen, I will see what plays out here the next week, 10 days, who knows. We don't know when the state budget will all finally ultimately be passed, but I'm hopeful that they're in there. I'm somewhat confident, I'm very confident they're going to be in there based on the work we've done on this end and having conversations with our partners in government. And I hope that the four of us standing here and making it very clear that we don't think that deficit borrowing is the way to go, that would hold the city back for a generation, that our state senators and others take note of that and realize that these other proposals are maybe the better way to go. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. This way. Thank
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.